Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Chicago, we have a problem. We can leave Houston in the rear view for a little while because the Bears have entered the chat. Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Gola Jr. and Jhené Egbuemeke. And Jhené, as we sit here and try and digest NFL free agency, we're going to have your NBA starting five, yeah. March Madness edition, coming up in about a half hour. Very excited for you.
Okay, preview. What I'll be doing the entire month once the NCAA tournament starts, March Madness, we're going to be doing our own Jhené starting five, but NCAA edition. So for instance, today I'll talk about NBA. Oh, wait, I said NCAA edition. NBA edition. Today we'll do bubble teams. We'll do Final Four, all the projections. So it'll be really fun. We'll put the NBA flavor on it, but I'll... through what we sort of love with NCAA tournament. So it's going to be cool.
Going to put your foot in it, no doubt about
that. Oh, my gosh. Yes, you actually sort of got that right.
Kind of nailed it, even though it did not sound like it. So we've got that coming up in the half hour. I promise it's going to sound cooler when Jhené does it than when I try and preview it like that. We've also got Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain and Fitz, going to join us in 10 minutes here. Noted Chicago Bears fan. And Jhené, I thought today, because as we look around free agency right now, we just came off the Patriots spending spree from yesterday that scared the hell out of everybody. We've been sitting, waiting around, seeing, all right, is any of this Russell Wilson stuff going to come to fruition? And we remember Russell Wilson had been linked to the Saints, reportedly. They go and sign Jameis Winston to a deal now. They think they've got him and Taysom Hill in that quarterback room. He was linked to the Dallas Cowboys. They re-signed Dak Prescott, so that one seems like it's out. Linked to the Las Vegas Raiders. They released their center, Rodney Hudson, when Russell Wilson says, I like their offensive line. I like John Gruden. I thought I was going to have to be the one hugging Jason Fitz, the other co-host of that show, and noted Raiders fan. But then the Bears, who are all the time hearing about swinging big for Russell Wilson, with Ryan Pace, their GM, and Matt Nagy, their head coach, who seem to be on their last leg. When you go and say, you're going to let the quarterback go, Jhené, in Mitch Trubisky, and you're going to let him go for a guy that Tom Fornelli from CBS pointed out had a better completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown to interception ratio, touchdown rate, first down rate, and sack rate than Andy Dalton, who is now the Bears quarterback in that room last year. Jhené, they have exited the Russell Wilson sweepstakes in famous fashion, so I feel like we've got to provide some counsel for our friend Sarah.
We really do. I don't know if she's going to feel like how I felt as a Houston Texans fan and a Houston Rockets fan when I heard the news from Deshaun and I heard the news from James Harden. It's like, oh, you knew that this was possibly a reality, but you never knew it would feel like this. And I told you, Junior, I was emotionally numb. So I feel bad for Sarah. But, you know, I'm just curious because, like, Junior, thinking of the Bears overall, is this probably better off? I mean, like, I know Bears fans would have loved to have Russell Wilson. But would you like Russell Wilson given the structures surrounding him? Obviously, the defense helps, but sometimes you wonder if the problems that did not translate with Mitch Trubisky, the problems that Nick Foles stumbled into, would they carry over and sort of hurt Russ? You know, I guess that's sort of where I have a little bit of qualms. Like, maybe it's better for, obviously we know that they're going to be patient, the Seattle Seahawks, based on the contract and based on this window closing with Chicago. But, like, I kind of feel like this is okay for Russ, but even though it stinks for Bears fans?
This is great for Russ, I think. As much as he wanted the leverage to stay in this spot, I don't think him going over to Chicago, you're absolutely right, would have been a better situation than what he had in Chicago at all. No, I think for Seattle, I've said this for a while, it makes very little sense for them to part ways with Russ for most of the things that were offered and on the table for them at the time. The thing that's the issue here is for Chicago, it just seems like this is them waving the white flag. Like, they were going to try and swing big. They had to, based on what they had done. Failed last offseason. The Chicago Bears made their bed last offseason when they decided that Mitchell Trubisky, the only competition he needed was Nick Foles. They were going to overpay to bring that guy into that quarterback room. And when it didn't go out well, it's a reminder of why we should never hope or dream for anything, Jhené, because the minute Bears fans got Russell Wilson into their heads this offseason and had those heightened expectations, they got humbled real quick. I came onto the show today. I typed in our Google Doc. I said, get ready for Marcus Mariota or Andy Dalton to be your quarterback, Bears fans.
There you go. Good.
And this is where we wound up in all this. Because a reminder, Adam Schefter pointed out, our ESPN NFL insider, Chicago made a, quote, very aggressive pursuit of Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, per sources. And the Bears were told Seattle is not trading him at this time. Now Chicago has an agreement with Andy Dalton. Don't dream. Don't do it. It's just going to hurt you.
Junior, what did Ryan Clark, our great ESPN NFL analyst, say about Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy?
That they're done, that they sealed their fate, and I completely agree with him, Chinee. This is Men in Black when they're getting ready in the first movie for that big fight scene at the end. And then remember when they hand Will Smith the mini cricket? They hand him that little pea shooter of a gun right there, and you're saying, I'm going to walk into this alien battle for my life with the smallest gun that you've got in here. And again, I don't want this to sound like it's dump on Andy Dalton today, because Andy Dalton, if you're going to put him in a backup role like he was last year, is a guy that can be valuable, is a guy that's been, I think, the line of demarcation for quarterback play in the NFL. If you put him on a team, he will rise and fall to the level of your weapons when he was at his peak. Now he's at a point where we look at him, and I said relative to the other signing we saw for a comparable price, 1 year, $10 million for Ryan Fitzpatrick, I would much rather bet on that volatility if I'm a team in that spot versus Andy Dalton, who at best you think is going to be consistent and maybe not kill you in that spot, but he's certainly not going to be the lifeline that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy needed right now. So I agree with Ryan Clark. I think it is all over but the crying in Chicago.
I thought you were going to go the Men in Black angle where they have, I don't know what that tool is, but it's that thing that blinks and you forget everything. I was like, I think the Bears fans kind of need that tool. You know, blink and just forget everything and let's start fresh, because that probably applies. But I know we're thinking about, you know, overall, Junior, NFL free agency and who's available left. Who do you like? Because I have a feeling you want to get in the gutter with Mr. Williams.
I do. Well, I think this is amazing to look at now, Chinee, where we sit in free agency, because we've talked about frustration around the Seahawks not doing anything here. Kansas City trying to match what Tampa Bay did last year, having to retool their offensive line. We've seen a lot of guys go, but Trent Williams still sitting out there. Reports around the San Francisco 49ers about them trying to, you know, see if they can keep him around in town. But you look, he's out there. Both the tackles from Kansas City, albeit coming off injury, are going to be guys out there. And I think Mitchell Schwartz, much better chance of seeing the field this upcoming season. And then now you've got the Rodney Hudson situation. Fascinating what the Vegas Raiders ate as far as a dead cap hit to let go what's considered one of the better centers and anchor on their offensive line, a group that was their strength last year. Now, out in free agency, also, where's he going to wind up? This remains a class in that position. We're seeing cornerback musical chairs right now. And then the wide receivers, Janae. Kenny Galladay's been number one on most people's free agency list for a lot of people. And yet him, Juju Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller, all of these names sitting out there right now in a tough market for these guys that people are going to get a bargain. And Janae, I look squarely at the Indianapolis Colts. You brought Carson Wentz in. You got him out of Philly. You're betting on him and Frank Reich as a partnership here. And you need to make sure we are maxing out the weapons around him.
Yes.
We are protecting him. They went into free agency with a ton. They've been carrying a ton of cap space for a while. That defense balled last year. Shore up your tackle after Anthony Costanzo retired and get Carson Wentz more weapons and go all in right now, because this is what can happen. Chicago is your example of if you miss a window, you can go from opening that thing up to slamming it shut in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I love that, because their running back sort of overperformed. The defense showed up. You've now got your quarterback, you know, swag out with your skill positions. But hey, there's still time on the clock.
There is still time on the clock. And they're in that position now where they can still dare to dream. Coming up next, let's visit with one of our friends who dared to dream and then got reminded how dangerous that can be. We'll do that next here with noted Chicago Bears fan Sarah Spain on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Can't wait.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, and reminding you, in celebration of Women's History Month, pay tribute to Black Queens on the Undefeated on ESPN Plus. Explore the athletes and coaches that have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. We got Chinee's starting five in the NBA March Madness edition coming up in about 10 minutes. But here with us now on the Goodyear Hotline, you hear her as the co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio, 7 to 9 Eastern, our neighbors to the north. You also see her on Around the Horn, all over ESPN platforms. And Janae, I was excited to get Sarah Spain in here with us, talk maybe about the Bachelor finale last night, a lot of tension at play there, some NFL free agency, and then I saw the news break. And so, Sarah, the first question I have to ask you on the way in is, Andy Dalton is now a Chicago Bear for 1 year and $10 million. Are you okay? Is that even possible at this point?
You know what? I'm not. And I want to start off by pointing out that when I agreed to come on the show, this deal was not done. So I blame you. I think it's probably your fault that this happened. You also just mentioned neighbors to the north casually, as if that doesn't immediately make me think of the Packers as we're talking about the Bears quarterback situations, which is frankly deeply insensitive. Also, my only good part of the offseason, which is the part where I hope that the Bears don't once again bury us in a hole of quarterback mediocrity and futility, is over. I don't know what I'm supposed to look forward to. And no, to your question, I'm not okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm a Houston Texans fan, so I feel like I'm right in the gutter with you,
right.
Spain.
Congrats on Tyrod Taylor, or Tyrod, depending on which side of that you fall on.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's a good dude, but honestly, I don't know how to feel. We both are emotionally numb. Sarah Spain joining us on ESPN Radio. Tanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. And first and foremost, before I get to my question, I'm going to try to brighten the mood a little bit. I haven't talked to you in a minute. I want to congratulate you, Women's History Month, part of the NWSL Chicago Red Stars ownership group.
Thank you.
Major snaps.
I vow to be a better owner than the McCaskies. I vow that if I learn more about soccer and there's a quarterback position, I'm going to nail it every time.
But you've been a real champion for women's sports, like real, to your core, in your blood, and I appreciate that about you.
Right
now, back to the
you.
Bears. Yeah. So sorry, Sarah.
Oh, God. Oh, what a dark turn.
It was a bright spot for a moment. Oh.
So we had Ryan Clark come on here, and he basically intimated that, you know, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, he doesn't see much of a future there. Do you think that this move with Andy Dalton sort of wraps things up for them, even if they have this year to try to get through?
So what we heard from Adam Schefter is that they had a big, bad offer out there to the Seahawks, who responded, we're not trading him at this time, right? So they tried. They, according to Lewis Riddick and everyone else for the last couple of weeks, who have said, you know, they really are desperate. We all know they're desperate. Question has always been, what do they have to offer? This feels like more of the same for a team that has had a problem at this position since the Sid Luckman years. Now, there's still a chance maybe they try to move up in the draft and go try to get Trey Lance, or maybe they end up with Mac Jones and you see what he's got. But they're currently at 20. They're not in a position to go out and get a real game changer unless they make some moves there. And I think the worst part of this, guys, is that as disappointing and lame and not exciting as Andy Dalton is, when you've got Deshaun and Russ and all these other people floated out there, he's still going to come in with some of the best numbers of any Bears quarterback ever. And that tells you what we're dealing with here. He's got 50 more touchdowns in one more season with the Bears than Cutler did with the Bengals, than Cutler did in one fewer season with the Bears. He's got 8,000 plus more yards in one more season with the Bengals than Cutler had in his time with the Bears. His touchdown interception ratio is better. Like, all these stats, and I have to keep sadly holding up Cutler as the record holder for a number of categories for the Bears franchise, because that's how dire it's been. So this probably is better than before, which is so depressing.
My God, that actually hurts to hear out loud. Well, Sarah, relative to even the recent Bears quarterbacking, because I saw Tom Fornelli point out that in a number of statistical categories last year over that sample size, Mitch Trubisky was better than Andy Dalton in some of those spots. And we saw down the stretch of last season, he certainly, relative to his play, had improved. Was there any thought that maybe the Bears should have thought longer about bringing Mitch Trubisky back and giving it one more shot with someone you at least know?
Yeah, you also failed to point out that the Bears could have had Dalton last year on a one-year, $3 million deal instead of giving away draft capital to go get Foles and then spending much more to get Dalton this year. Mitchell Trubisky's numbers, I think, can be misleading if you're watching the games. There are some statistical categories where people will try to hold up, you know, there's only four quarterbacks who have done X and Y, and it's a bunch of good guys, and then Mitch Trubisky, you're like, what? So I don't know if it's an easy apples-to-apples comparison to look at Dalton in a backup role getting thrust into a team like the Cowboys that, you know, once Dak goes down and everything has started falling apart, versus a team like the Bears that buoys their offensive play with their defense. Not enough last year, but technically still a playoff team based on a lot of defensive effort. So, yeah, I'm not going to get too caught up in that comparison. I don't think Trubisky's ceiling is ever worth going after. And Dalton, to me, is more of just the veteran that you hope doesn't ruin everything for the defensive efforts as much as you worry about Trubisky doing that.
Spain, as your neighbor to the north, you know, here on Chenangle Jr.
You're actually a neighbor to the south.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Although Jason Fitz contests that, by the way.
To the north. And
it depends on which way you're looking. Like, if you go 180,
it's
got to
be your bull.
Thank you. I was going to ask, how can we help? How are you doing? But I don't think
Continuing to talk about your situation and the Texans is the best way to do that. Because even though my team totally blew it by not drafting Deshaun Watson, at least we didn't draft him, see him be one of the best players in the league, and then be so terribly toxic and dysfunctional
to scare him
away to the point where he might actually sit out a season instead of playing for you.
Yeah, I don't know what's
worse. That is a real, it is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
True.
In this case, though, maybe just not loving at all seemed like the way to go in that spot when it went this badly.
Parallel comp to The Bachelor probably this season as well. Yeah.
Very true. Speaking of, Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain and Fitz from 7 to 9 Eastern here coming up in just a little bit after us. Sarah, you are one of the other noted Bachelor fans around ESPN Radio. We had the finale and after the final rose, which we know Chris Harrison, the normal host, not hosting because of racially insensitive comments that he made not too long ago talking to former Bachelorette Rachel Lindsay. So Emmanuel Acho, a guy who's a former co-worker of ours, works over at Fox now hosting there. What was your big takeaway? This was a season that had a big time reckoning for a lot of the ills and the sins of the Bachelor franchise when it came to the racial politics on that show. So what did you take away from the finish last night?
Well, we actually did a pre-party for Spain and Fitz, so if people want to listen to last night, Fitz and I spent a good maybe 5 or 10 minutes on it, and then I also put a couple threads on social media, Twitter and Insta. That's how much I thought on this. I'll give you two takeaways. One is that I really hope that a strong Black, smart woman in Michelle holds the show accountable going forward. I think her decision to be one of the next Bachelorettes is sort of a tacit endorsement that she believes the franchise will actually address the race issues that have plagued it from the start. And I really don't want her to be let down the way they let down both Rachel and Matt, the previous Black Bachelor and Bachelorette. So will her role in that, and Katie, the other Bachelorette, who also seems incredibly progressive and up to date on these issues, how will they hold the show accountable? And then also, I think Chris Harrison is a microcosm for the world, which is we cannot forgive white people for just not caring enough to educate themselves so that when they have a situation like this, they act in the way that he did. This show has been in the focus of race issues for almost a decade now, and the fact that he could have that conversation with Rachel Lindsay and sound so tone-deaf and offensive leads me to believe that while all of that was swirling around the show, he never took a moment to even think about it because it wasn't showing up at his front door. And as white people keep doing that, that's why we're centuries into this experiment called America and we're still stuck. We got to be much more accountable for caring and investing our time, not just screwing up and asking for forgiveness.
If you want to hear more very, very sound analysis of this situation like that, check out the pre-show party for Spain and Fitz wherever you get your podcast there. Couldn't agree more with you, Sarah. A lot of work to do, and it would be exciting for once to see someone follow through and do the work in this space. And hopefully the Chicago Bears will start to do some work at some point. Good luck to you and Jason Fitz in your I'd have to imagine a first session, a first therapy session
for the
opening segment there. Thanks,
good
Sarah.
Luck. Thanks, guys.
Sarah Spain, ESPN Radio host, co-host of Spain and Fitz, and again, noted Chicago Bears fan, kind enough to join us and try and work through some of this pain.
I can't believe
right
she
now.
Told me to talk about the Texans to make her feel better. That's horrible.
This is like, but she's right. And I hear Jason Fitz talk about this all the time, Chenae. For most franchises in sports, all you have to get you through is hope. Because most teams aren't good enough and most organizations aren't run well enough to actually get you to the places that good teams go in these sports. And so this time of year, the draft, free agency are where we deal in hope, the most powerful narcotic in sports. And all of a sudden, Sarah and the Chicago Bears had to kind of get out of the game pretty quickly on that one and come back down to earth and realize what life is. So,
man, I'm telling you, and I feel the same. Texans, man. It's been a season.
It is tough. But coming up next, let's give people some hope for the second half of the NBA season here. The Starting Five March Madness edition for
let's
the
go.
NBA second half, courtesy of our favorite ESPN NBA analyst. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I promise We're going to give you a list that's going to make you happy. Chinne Agumake's starting five for the NBA March Madness edition coming up here in just a second on Chinne Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But Chinne, I have to first read you an absolutely ridiculous tweet. I promise I'm going to stop twisting the knife in Bears fans soon, but okay, I just have to get one more thing in here.
Give it to me.
So David Bierman, who is the deputy editor of sports betting here at ESPN, ESPN Chalk, does a lot of great work, tweeted this out about 15 minutes ago here in light of the news. The Chicago Bears sign former Cowboys quarterback, former Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton to a one-year, $10 million deal. They swung hard reportedly at Russell Wilson. They got told they weren't trading him. And so people are wondering, man, I wonder how this changes the Bears' Super Bowl chances. Certainly, things can't get worse than they were. According to David Bierman, the Chicago Bears' Super Bowl odds went from 40-1 to 50-1 following the Dalton signing per William Hill, U.S., again, it was Caesars, William Hill, the sports book.
Maybe that was factoring in a potential Russ before. Like, oh, there's like air and likely. No.
That must have been it, right? Like you were factoring in uncertainty, the chaos factor in all of this here. Maybe some chaos magic in this situation, a la Ryan Fitzpatrick. No, no, no.
Then so. Ryan. Oh, my gosh. Then reality hits. Bam.
Then
bam.
Reality hits. 40-1 moves to 50-1 odds following the Dalton signing in Chicago. So you'll get plenty more wailing and gnashing of teeth on the Bears from Spain and Fitz coming up a little bit. They have a lot to reckon with their teams. But in the meantime, we have got Chinne Agumake. She is a stud NBA analyst. And so we have got her starting five, March Madness edition, in the NBA.
Let's get
it. We got to get you the information you need about the NBA.
Sorry, I was all the way deep
into my bag.
Chinne, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information.
These teams are hot. Heat is on the stove hot.
We want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you
Chinne's starting five.
All right, here we go, number five. Yeah, let's do it. It's my starting five, March Madness edition. And week one of this March Madness edition, my starting five, is NBA bracketology. Number five, let's go.
Number five.
All right, let's start with the bubble. The NCAA tournament is going to happen in a bubble. So let's talk about NBA teams that are on the bubble. Right now, the last teams in NBA style, talking about the playoffs, would be the Atlanta Hawks, who are currently sitting at the eighth spot in the East. And I think they hit rock bottom, change coaches, and now they have someone else talking in their ear, and they'll continue to work their way up. Also, the Dallas Mavericks, last team in, who had to deal with COVID at the start of the year and injuries, and finally they're becoming more healthy. This team is rounding into form, and plus you've got Luka Doncic. If it's a one-possession game and he's on the, what, left wing, you can count that easy money, 28-8-9. Now, last teams out that would not make the bubble, which in the NBA would be the NBA playoffs. Surprisingly, the Toronto Raptors, who might eventually, you've heard Kyle Lowry be in trade deal talks. That's not a good sign. And also, unfortunately, I've got the New Orleans Pelicans, who, like, Zion is on a mission. All-star, but they're three games back right now from eighth in the West. They would need a huge run to contend. Let's head to number four.
Number four.
All right, the number four, the topic is region, because the NCAA tournament, every time we get our brackets, is divided into regions, and we always talk about the hardest regions. And right now, the hardest region NBA style is the West, clearly. But I want to even narrow things in with the Pacific region, because we thought that the Lakers and the Clippers, part of that Pacific region, would dominate the West. Right now, they're lower in the standings that we expected. Those duos are trying to find ways to win. But look who's above them within that same Pacific region. Phoenix Suns that have a formidable backcourt, you know, and Devin Booker and also Chris Paul. You've got the young with the spice and the sauce offensively, and Chris Paul with the leadership that's translated to the numbers two spot. And, you know, overall, when it comes to the hardest division in the West, you have to put in the Utah Jazz, but specifically the tightest region in the West, the Pacific Division. Number three.
Number three.
All right, it's Chinne Agumake, Mike Golick Jr., Chinne Agumake Jr., and we're talking about my starting five NCAA tournament March Madness style, but we're going to throw in the NBA flavor because I'm an NBA analyst. And at number three, we love upsets in NCAA tournaments. So let's talk about some Cinderella teams. And right now, the Cinderella of the NBA, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and I love it, Rookie of the Year, Charlotte Hornets, LaMelo Ball. Mm. So fun this season to watch LaMelo ball out. Scary Terry, they're just formidable, can dunk, can pass, they can do it all. And also, shout out to Gordon Hayward, who a lot of people thought, oh, he's leaving the Celtics, he got the bag. Well, he's that veteran presence that can really score for them. They're right now sixth in the East, and they're having so much fun. To our favorite number.
Number two.
All right. So this year, the Final Four is in Indy, but actually the entire tournament is in Indy because it's a bubble. And so the Final Four teams that we're going to talk about in the NBA, these are the top four that I think will make it, you know, in the East and the West. So it's like those two head-ups in the conference finals. Let's start with the Brooklyn Nets, obviously right now the best offense in the NBA. And I've also got the Philadelphia 76ers that are rounding out the East in the finals. You could have an MVP in Joel Embiid. You have one of the better defenses in the NBA that's extremely long. You've got a defensive player of the year candidate in Ben Simmons. I love Tobias Harris on the perimeter defending. They touch all aspects of the game, both offensively, defensively, and the next layer in transition. I love that. Now, in the Final Four, we've got Brooklyn, Philly. I've got the Utah Jazz, obviously, in the West for this region, or, you know, this side, just because they have the best record in the NBA and they sort of have pieced things together. Junior, I've said it a million times. They have top five in offensive and defensive efficiency, and that always bodes well for great balance and harmony. And of course, I got to put the defending champs in there, the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Final Four in the NBA, I think the Final Four teams, you know, per conference, Brooklyn Nets and Philadelphia 76ers. And the other two would be the Utah Jazz and the Lakers. I would not be mad at a Jazz, Lakers, you know, Western Conference Finals and Nets. Philadelphia Sixers, you know, Eastern Conference. So that's my Final Four. And that leads to number one overall.
Number one.
Now, what we love about the NCAA tournament, and I know a little bit about this. I've gone to three Final Fours, and we have a couple of times been a number one overall seed. And right now, we saw the number one overall seed in the NBA make slight work, kind of, but then they sort of came back of the New York Knicks. I'm talking about the Brooklyn Nets. We know that this team is special, and we're still awaiting Blake Griffin, his debut. It's really crazy. I think only two other teams in NBA history could potentially have a starting five that have all been all-stars. Potentially that lineup with DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin and Kyrie Irving and James Harden and Kevin Durant. It'll be crazy if they can play that big boy ball with DeAndre in the middle, Blake as a great passer, underrated passer, and then those three. How do you guard them? I have zero clue. But this was it, top to bottom, number one overall seed. Clearly the Brooklyn Nets, the Final Four. We've got those two teams, the 76ers and the Nets, and then the Utah Jazz and the Lakers. Hardest region, clearly the West, specifically the Pacific Division. And then we know that, obviously, there are certain teams that will make it in. But, you know, we're still starting the second half of the season, Junior. That was like my March Madness overhaul, but NBA style.
I appreciate that. What I also appreciate is subtly in that list, because I think you'll find very few people that can dispute a lot of what you just said there. It's a lot of very valuable, coherent information. That the year we were talking about, one franchise in particular and one star player having a big reckoning, have managed to avoid so much criticism. If the Milwaukee Bucks aren't in the Eastern Conference Finals after signing Giannis and going all in on all this stuff, I can't imagine. If it were any other city on earth, that would be something we tolerate. But we will forget about it quickly because Brooklyn is now taken over as the traveling circus.
And he's no longer going to a place where he could be an unrestricted free agent after the season, which, imagine that. Like, it would be nuts.
How dare he deprive us of that drama, by right? The way. Lawrence, you know what? Giannis Antetokounmpo, and we appreciate everyone again. That's Chiney's starting five. If you ever miss any of that, check it out wherever you get your podcast. A reminder, March Madness edition, go join our bracket challenge, Chiney and Gola Jr. on ESPN.com. Check out the bracket challenge section. We got a group going there. We want you to come do bracket stuff with us. We feel like it'll be a good time. But Giannis needs to learn from his elders what he can learn from LeBron James about this situation and what LeBron James can teach us about long-term revenge.
Ooh.
That's coming up next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Look at the Scenics, Jr. on ESPN Plus. You guys, it's California.
I see, this is what bothers me. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks to our guests. Join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Michael Sean Dugar, Athletic Seahawks reporter, breaking down what didn't happen with their quarterback Russell Wilson today. ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark stopped by to put the nail in the coffin for the Bears front office and coaching
yes.
staff. And Sarah Spain came here to mourn. Ooh. Our ESPN radio co-host of Spain and Fitz, you're going to hear coming up in about 10 minutes, noted Bears fan. She came here to weep. And that's exactly what Chiney tries to do to me every day. Because it's not enough that she gets to walk outside. I'm in Bristol, Connecticut doing this show. Chiney's in Los Angeles. So she gets to walk outside every day and live in sunshine out there, live in
it
warmth, live in luxury. And she comes in here to work and says, you know what? ESPN Plus, where you guys can catch us from 4 to 7 every day. We got to see more scenics of Los Angeles, because I can't live it out here, but I got to see it on the screen. That's kind of messed up.
That's balance and harmony. But I was laughing more on the break because apparently someone in our crew got a parking ticket, which I was trying to rationalize. When we don't have many people on campus, how in the world are you getting a parking ticket? It's almost like getting fired on your day off.
No joke. My dad, I believe he was calling a college football game. It was either at Ole Miss or at Georgia. Had a ticket written for him, a parking ticket, for $1.39. He literally offered to give the police officer cash on the spot, and he's like, no, I can't do this. $1.39 for a parking ticket. And I just want to be clear. I park in the right spot around here. So now that we've got all that out, and we've officially put people on blast on this show, Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. It's time to keep that same energy as we move into the rest of the day. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené Angola Jr.
So, Jhené, big news, and no one's going to be surprised by this. LeBron James is making major moves. Yet again, this time, the Lakers star is joining Fenway Sports Group as a partner, giving him an ownership stake in its subsidiaries, which includes the Boston Red Sox, Liverpool FC, Roush Fenway Racing, and the regional sports network NESN. So LeBron James, Jhené, now part owner of Liverpool and the Boston Red Sox.
Honestly, I think this is just the beginning for his world domination.
Honestly, Jhené, because he's a guy that, like, yeah, LeBron's kind of been linked to. He kind of has that Drake sports fandom where he's linked to a lot of popular teams, but we've always seen him in Yankees hats. This feels like long con revenge here, where now he's on the inside of their rivals in the Boston Red Sox. Maybe he can torpedo this thing from the inside.
Do you think his Yankees hats were like fandom or more just because it's like a culture thing? A lot of people that love Jay-Z wear Yankees hats. You know what I mean? It's a little cultural.
Yeah, Jhené, I never really thought LeBron James was that big of a fan of like any team besides Ohio State in college football. But LeBron lives to just, you know, tweet about the teams that are going on here and, you know, get his tweet aggregated on all of our websites. It's smart business, and clearly it's landed him in a spot where he can now own part of all of these great properties here. So, Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, keeping that same energy, Jhené. Big news from another all-time sports great, Tiger Woods. We've talked about video games a lot on this show, Jhené. You were out on bringing the college football video game back. You weren't interested in that. Can I interest you in Tiger Woods? He signed a long-term partnership behind the PGA Tour 2K video games, returning to the industry. Remember, he once dominated EA Sports. Tiger Woods Golf was unbelievable. This deal announced Tuesday. Are you interested in Tiger Woods coming back to the video game world?
I am interested in Tiger Woods as a fellow Stanford alum. Video games are still a harder sell for me. So I'm sorry. What I would love to do is go hang out once we're able to and do Topgolf together. That's what I'll offer you.
Topgolf is great. Big fan of Topgolf. Happy to go out there and do that. A lot of fun with that. But, Jhené, you got to understand, like, again, for 15 years, this was one of the premier games. You want to talk about, we talk about sports popularity through video games. Tiger Woods Golf was the game for
years. I heard about
years.
It.
It's incredible.
So much energy, but I only played Crash Bandicoot and Mario Kart, so.
You know what? Jhené has made it very clear her stance on video games around here. So we will be a Topgolf family, maybe not a Tiger Woods family, although I will probably cave and get this game. Keep that same energy is brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps businesses hire great people fast. Visit Indeed.com/credit. And how about this one, Jhené? We had Megan Rapinoe from the U.S. Women's National Team stopping by Sports Nation last night, the U.S. Women's National Team star, who said that the U.S. Women's National Team jersey doesn't represent U.S. soccer, but the equal pay fight here. She has been a big proponent of that. We are going to get a chance to talk to Megan Rapinoe tomorrow on this show on ESPN Radio. Very excited for
that. Let's go, Megan. Megan has been so instrumental to not only helping, you know, the game grow in general, but also like the WNBA, you know, with Sue. Those ties are like, hey, what y'all doing over there? And she's like, oh, we got this. What y'all doing over there? So it's been really fun.
It has been. I think anyone who is a fan of progress in sports for people of all races, genders, to find their way to the table and get equitable treatment when they're there, owe a debt of gratitude to Megan Rapinoe and her peers. And so we're excited to talk to Megan tomorrow on the radio show.
Let's
we'll
go.
Keep you updated on everything that's happening in NFL free agency. But coming up next, Get some therapy in. Spain and Fitz going to take over for us on ESPN Radio.
Good luck, friends.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.